He's wonderful, isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, was recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon. Let someone back out with us. Remember the request from this morning, Mom and all the ones on the list that we're praying for. Just remember them. The Lord knows who they are, and we've heard them this morning. So just keep them on your,
Amen.
On your mind. And also, Sister Angie Brown has an unspoken request also. Just remember those. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling, and we know of many that are traveling. Come down and bless them, be with them, Lord. The ones that are sick, the ones that need a touch from you, Lord. Remember Mom and all the other ones, Lord, that need a touch. Come down and bless them today. Most of all, Lord, forgive us of all our sins and keep us safe as we're listening here, Lord, that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, be with us and guide us and help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to be back out in service. I hope those watching at home and those who are here, and I pray God just bless you. Amen. We serve a wonderful God. Certainly, as we continue in this side of things, you know, we're looking for our heavenly home. And it sounds more like home to us every day as we keep hearing that word. And I hope that's your heart. Let's sing 457.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
With all your heart.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's hold a God unchanging hand. That's certainly what I'm getting from the message. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold us all the way through.
Time is filled with swift transition.
160.
Not of earth unmoved can stay. Unchanging hand.
we're singing whole to God's unchanging hand. Oh Lord, whole to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. And we're singing whole to God's unchanging hand. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, whole to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. And hold to God's unchanging. Think about it. It says, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Oh my. Oh, and seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. And we're singing whole to God's unchanging hand. Oh Lord, whole to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, God's unchanging hand. When your journey, is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory. In a raptured soul will view, and we're singing whole to God's unchanging hand. Oh Lord, whole to God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Unchanging hand. Time is filled. Time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. We gotta build our hopes on things eternal. And God's unchanging hand, and we're singing whole to God's unchanging hand. Oh yes, Lord, whole to God's unchanging hand. Lord, we're gonna build our hopes on things eternal. Changing hand, just the musicians. God's unchanging hand. Oh, yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Glory. Amen. Holding on to that hand, it means never stopping. Amen. All the way. Just listening to Greatest Battle, of course, and he talked about Nellie Sanders, that dancer. Said she was about 18 years old, and she was a dancer before God got a hold of her. And she got saved, surrendered her life to the Lord, and she was walking down the street once, as many of you know the story, and she heard that music, that whirly music in that club, and she thought she'd stop for a minute just to listen. And she said, you know what, you know, I love the Lord, but oh, I can remember. I can remember. And Brother Brim said, when she stopped, that was that point. Never stop for that devil. Amen. We got a hold on all the way, and we know it's getting so close. I mean, we are here. We're seeing things that we never imagined we would see or experience. Amen. And as our pastor said, you know, he believes this is the beginning of it. Amen. Well, we've been started a long time ago. On that way, on that right path. Amen. And we're feeling so much better talking about it, thinking about it, finding our resting place in it. Amen. Let's sing that song, Feeling So Much Better, number 9. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to try light of the world. Amen. Thank God for this light that we have by His grace. Light of the world, you stepped out. Amen. Amen. Let's start again. Light of the world, you stepped out of darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Amen. We worship him in the present. Here I am. Amen. Let's sing 266. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow no matter what it holds. No matter what comes our way, we can face it because he lives. Amen. Let's start off with the chorus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know, yes I know, he holds my future. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. He's alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Let's stand. All my fears are gone. Is that true to you this morning? Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future, and this life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight. No war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns with all your heart, because He lives. Oh yes, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. We don't have to be fearful. All my fears are gone, because I know, yes I know, He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Let's sing that as we get ready for the word. Our brother can come out. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Because He lives,
thank you, Lord.
I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. God bless you. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to be here today. And I got it. I can do it from this side. I'm ambidextrous. Well, I'm really not, but I was at that moment. So good to be in the house of the Lord. By way of announcements, let's get those done real quick. But listen to them. Yeah. Wednesday, I announced these people, we're going to go back to phase one. Phase one is just the men in the building. And I read off the names. I'm going to read them one more time. Brother Dale, myself, Brother Terrence, Brother Anderson, Brother John Durrett, Brother Josh, Brother Tony, Brother Kern, Brother Bob. Bob's feeling really good. He's good. And Brother Luis is feeling good. Brother Paul will be here Wednesday with us one more time before he goes back to that forsaken place called Minnesota. Amen. Brother Donnie, Brother Ryan, Brother Gary, Brother Danny, and the new brother. All right, so we will have those until you hear anything different. That will be Wednesday and Sunday at least until we kind of shake all this out of the building. So it'll just be the brothers, and Sister Esther can play the piano. She can sit with Tony. That's okay. So it's all right. But also remember, next Sunday, Dad and I will be leaving right after service, going to Illinois for a couple of days working on the deer land. So just keep us in your prayers that way. We'll be back on Tuesday. So, and then right after the service, we're going to a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Amen. The old man's going to die, and there's a new man going to come to life. So we'll be able to see how that God does it. God does it really nice. Death, burial, resurrection, right there in one instant. And thank God that we see that some are walking in newness of life and some are carrying on. I was, if you go back to my old, when we were preaching on a revival, always after a plague, there's a revival. So I think this plague that we're seeing now that we're really going to see, and I know some are, as Brother Dale and I were talking the other day, some are having a revival, but I told you it was not a church revival, it's a personal revival. So it's a personal revival. It will never be another, Brother Brown said, it'll never be a worldwide sweeping revival. It'll never be a revival that'll catch attention. The third pull is not for the world. It's not for, you understand what I'm saying? Amen. It's not a public show. But we can have a revival in our hearts every day. How that God, you get up in the morning and you just thank God that you did something that probably hundreds of thousands of people were not going to be able to do that day. Because there's that many people die every day around the world, and they didn't get up like you did. But you did. You got to get up, you got to breathe breath, and you got to then turn that to praise Him for letting that happen. So we're on the Feast of the Lord, and today is part 6, which would be Feast of Trumpets. Now, I want you to understand something before we get started. There's a difference in the Feast of Trumpets and the 7 trumpets in the book of Revelation, but they do compare together, and I'll show it to you in just a little while. So everybody got that? Say amen. So we're going to talk. Brother Brown preached on the Feast of Trumpets. Remember the he tried for months to get a building to preach on the 7 trumpets and the 7 trumpets and the 7 trumpets, and he was pushing because he saw them in there. He saw them in the Bible. Plagues, vials, and all that. And then God just kind of shut the door. And if you're a minister, if you've ever studied anything, sometimes you have to go by the leading of the Lord. Sometimes you get up against that wall and you don't go any further, and God wants you to go a different direction. So then he revealed to Brother Branham when he preached the Feast of the Trumpets, which is what we're going to talk about today, that he had already preached 7 trumpets in the seal. So he had already preached them supernaturally. So what we're looking at today, all these feast days, they're natural happenings. But to me and you, we're still on the journey of a Christian. This is your journey of going from justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then growing further in justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost as you go up the pyramid. And further on up to the headstone, you go through the justification, sanctification in a higher order, but we'll stay right down here on the bottom if you don't mind for today. So Leviticus 23, verse 23, let's remember all these that are sick, mom with sinus infection and all the different ones. I called Bob and Luis between services and they're okay. They're getting on the side of, Bob said he was a little bit tired yesterday. I told him that's just because he's getting old. So, can't blame that on no virus. So Leviticus 23, but just remember these that are sick and going through the just daily sicknesses, being cooped inside and all these things that we're, and you know what? Fear brings on a lot of things. So let's just be careful that we do not let that happen. All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that, Lord, you would be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does the revealing, because, Lord, we can't do that, only you. But you said you would send the Holy Ghost in your name, and that you would teach us and show us things to come. So, Father, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us today. Be with us, Lord, again, as we say, Lord, the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, the ones that are at home, that we've had to depart again for a little while, Lord, and just take a little bit of time like we did before. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us and protect us. The devil wants to destroy us. We're the last thing on the earth that he wants to see on the earth. He does not want us to be here. But, Lord, you promised we would. And you promised we would persevere. And you promised we would overcome. To he that overcometh will I give all things. And that's us, Lord. I pray that you would be with us and take care of us in the furtherment of this service. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Give them the fruit for the labor. Be with the ministers around the world. We know that Satan's trying his best to attack the ministry, even in their physical bodies. And we pray, Lord, protection for that, Lord, that you'd be with us and take care of us, Lord. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Leviticus 23, verse 23. So the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, in the seventh month. Now, remember, when we started in the other feast, which we're going to go through, the feast of Passover and unleavened bread, first fruit, and Pentecost is in the spring. Now we've went through several months now, and it's going to be the seventh month, not the first month, because remember, the first month of the Jewish Christian, their Christian, or religious calendar is what? Is March, April. All right, that's their first day of the month. Now, this October, or the seventh month, is going to be their beginning of their civil calendar. And if you'll notice, even in Brother John knows that some people have a July the 1st fiscal year. Some have an October fiscal year. Like governments do a lot of October fiscal years. And we used to do it when we had a business there. We'd do it then. So there's several months. This one then is the Jewish first month of the civil calendar. But the seventh month, according to the Bible, the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we have been over this, and I hope that it's just not a Jewish thing. It's for each one of us. It's for each one of us to take and know that when we go through these things, that's what I've been trying to get to you with the believers and the journey of a believer. When somebody in the Bible did something, Ruth, Boaz, and all these different characters in the Bible, they were doing that as an example for me and you. Remember, I read in the Bible that these were given for examples to whom the ends of the world have come upon. So they're our examples. They were physical people, but they didn't know, I don't think at the time, that when they were going through these things, that Brother John, they'd say, well, no, in 2020, no, no, they didn't know that. They were living their life out. And these things were happening according to the foreknowledge of God. I don't know if y'all ever heard the foreknowledge of, okay, all right. Yeah, that's good. But by the foreknowledge of God, he's seen all this happen and can write it in a Bible, write about a Ruth and a Boaz, and I'm reading in Job now and reading about his three best friends. Yeah, they were accusers of the brethren, I think. They were trying to get Job to confess things. Surely, Job, you did something. Yeah, but see, that's how people are. But see, you see that the same way now. It's like Brother Dale was saying this morning, you know, well, that guy's just serpent seed. He don't believe like I do. Well, you better be careful. Right. Right. Touch not mine anointed. You would have thought Saul would have been serpent seed. Yeah. If we was looking at what Saul did, yeah. I'm talking about big Saul, the king, but he'll be there.
Right. Amen.
He'll be right there with us. Right. Won't be bride, but we know what he'll be. He'll be there with the Old Testament because David said, hey, touch not mine anointing. Do my prophets no harm. And so we just need to be careful and let God do the judging, except us. So, all right, let's look now. Let's start with Passover real quick. We're going to go through these because we've been through them before, but we need to get them together. Passover is Leviticus 23, verse 1. And I think Brother Kern's back there trying to help Brother Anderson. So if it's a little bit slow, it's okay. It's all right. We're an hour early. Oh, boy, now we... No. And the Lord's making them... People get all nervous when you talk about tithing now and time getting in here. Anyway, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So God set these feasts up himself. He didn't set them up for... And he set them up for himself, for them to what? Worship him. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So, there's your Saturday. Remember, what Sunday? The first day of the week.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But they took Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday was their Sabbath, and Sabbath, or Sabbath, means to rest. All right, so every 7 days they had a rest day. That didn't include the feast. The feast came in a little bit later. All right. These are the feasts of the Lord and even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Does everybody understand those seasons? Same way with me and you. You come in your season. Our brother didn't come in last 2 years. He came in the season. You and I all came in the season that was ripe, that the fruit was ripe for God to harvest. Everybody got that? Amen. All right, so even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, what's the first month? Abib, or Nisan, or March, April. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. And we saw what you were supposed to do. You would take the lamb of the first year, and it was supposed to be without blemish. Typing who? Jesus Christ. He was the Passover lamb. He was the one that was going to die. But remember, that was a temporary blood that they put over the doorpost in Egypt. Right. When the next rain came, just washed it all away. Right. But the blood of Jesus Christ, it had God involved in it. Amen. Not just an animal blood. This was God involved. Right. All right. So when he shed his blood, it's like, I love what the prophet said. He said, there's a little thin red bloodline all the way around the earth that covers the earth to where God can hear our voice through that blood. If he didn't hear our voice through the blood, like the same way with Adam and Eve, like Brother Dale was talking about, they would have died. You and I would die. We're still sinners saved by grace. And the thoughts and the ideas and the things that we do are contrary to God. Amen? So I thank God that covering is still there. You say, no, I don't need it. Well, yeah, you need it every day. Every day. We need that covering every single day just to make it through the day because we do have sins. Amen. All right? We do have unbelief. Right. Sorry. Yeah. We do. Just admit it. If you admit these things, that's why when somebody comes to the Lord, you just admit you're wrong.
Right.
I admit I was wrong. Every one of us. Sometimes, and you know you do, you feel like maybe you're on an island somewhere that I'm the only one that did a sin and had a past life and I'm the only one that, you know. No, no, brother. No. No. Every one of us.
Amen.
Every one of us, even the prophet of God, wherever he got the Holy Ghost, either the slop jar or pen or on the railroad track or wherever he was, he had an experience where he came and said, God, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? So we all come to that. There's none of us ever just walked up and said, well, I believe this ever since I was like 5 years old. No. You're a liar. So you need to get that lying spirit off of you first. Amen? So that's why the Bible says repent and be baptized. That's the problem. Sometimes we don't get that repent part right. We just want to get them to the water. Well, we want to get them repented first. Amen? Get them to repent and know that you did the wrong. Know that we did what we did. So, but we have a covering.
Amen.
Amen. We have a covering. And that covering speaks all down through your life. Even as we were talking the other day, you know, Brother Brown says that that believers have angels. And you were born with an angel to protect you.
Right.
Why? Because you were predestinated, but by foreknowledge, you were predestinated to become a Christian.
Right.
I mean, you got to get to that. Brother Dale will get to that where it is, where God did see you come to a place. And if he saw you come to that place, he can't do anything else but bring it to you at that place. Amen? But it was by foreknowledge that he knew you would want it more than life itself. If you ever want this gospel, if you ever want the new birth more than life itself, God will give it to you. Amen? But if you say, well, I can't because, see, there you go into the situation. I can't. No. God can save anybody that wants to be saved. Amen? You say, well, I was well, you're predestinated to think that too. Okay? So we see by foreknowledge that this is what God, the children of Israel, they needed a prophet for instruction, an angel to guide them, because they didn't know they were going on a 40-year journey. God did. God knew they were going on a 40-year journey. They didn't know that. They were just a few days from the promised land, but God gave them an angel to guide them, pillar of fire and a cloud. And then he gave them right from the get-go, just like before they even sinned one time in the wilderness, God gave them a lamb, gave them a blood covering, just like he gave Adam and Eve a blood covering. Before there was even a foundation of the world, he knew he was going to have to come down here and die and shed his blood.
Right.
So he went ahead in his mind and said, okay, I'm going to have this plan of redemption. And even the children of Israel are included in that plan of redemption because they're for our example. And then that same children of Israel, you said same? Well, the progeny of that children of Israel is going to be 144,000 that's going to be saved after you and I leave this place. So God's not going to forget Israel. It looks like sometimes he did. No, he's not going to forget Israel. Never will forget Israel. He said, no, how can I do that? So he's not going to forget her? No, he's coming to get her. Even though they're the ones that put him on the cross physically. You and I put him on the cross. But physically, they said, you know, let his blood be on us and our children. But God's going to take care of them. He knows that most of them are not going to make it, but they're going to give him a prophet anyway. Give them a prophet. Going to give them an angel. Going to give them a lamb to cover their sins. Same thing with me and you. He's going to give us those three things on our journey. And then we see that the next is unleavened bread. It says on the 15th day of the same month, so it's the next day after the same month, on the same month, the next day is the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you'll have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And in the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now, we know that types the seven church ages. I'm just trying to get everybody up to speed. That types the seven church ages, that the first church age was a holy convocation, and the last church age is a holy convocation. So we've got what we've got to do is the prophet of God turned us back to the faith of the fathers, not to something different, but back to the faith of the fathers, so then he could really, come on, guys. What kind of journey would we have without the prophet here today? Where would you be? Come on. Where would you be without hearing of this message? Whether you just heard of it or whether you've been in it since you was a kid. What would you be doing? Yeah, you're going to go to the Methodist and you're going to go to the Baptist? I can't understand how that you can be exposed to this message and then go somewhere else. I just can't see that. All right. But you know why I can't see that? Because I believe God's filled me with the Holy Ghost, and if he filled you with the Holy Ghost, you'd have same faith. You can't go back. You can't go back. Listen, there's nothing to go back to. Once you've got the real thing, there's no substitute to go back to. But now a lot of us had to go through those substitutes. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, and Lutheran, yeah. Brother Paul's daddy was a Lutheran preacher. So he grew up Lutheran all of his life. He bang, bang, bang. Yeah, I know. Button heads. But he was a Lutheran during his life. And so he knew about Martin Luther.
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy. Super guy. Church age messenger. But remember, he knows that same way as Brother Dale knows the Baptist faith. And then how can you look back to that faith and get anything from it? Now, bringing a point to this, because how in the world, now, some of those that were in their journey, in the world, in the wilderness of sin, wanted to go back to Egypt. Yep. Right. But they never got a true revelation, so God just let them die. Right. But now Joshua and Caleb never said, I think we need to go back. No, Caleb saw a mountain one day, and he said, that's my mountain. Right. And it's not back in Egypt, it's over in the promised land. Right. And I'm going in that direction. Right. And Joshua even went into the promised land. Caleb went into the promised land and came out. So, same way with you and I. You and I are going to go through these feasts during our time of being a Christian. Right. Unleavened bread is what? No leaven. No added interpretation. Come on. No added interpretation, because leaven is an addition. Even air is a leaven. Because right. If you need dough, K-N-E-A-D, not need. If you need dough and you don't do something with it in 18 minutes, it begins to rise anyway, because air right. causes the bubbles and the chemical reaction and all that. That's why he told them to eat their food in haste, and that it was going to be unleavened bread, and they ate unleavened bread until the manna fell. Why? They were moving. Right. They were patting that bread as fast as they could. They were feeding 2 million people. Right. They were patting that bread and sticking it in the oven as fast as they could. Well, it come out like this. God said, you're going to eat unleavened bread, a feast of unleavened bread, 7 days. So during 7 church ages, even Lutheran today, like Brother Bram said, I saw him where he was talking about Wesley, would turn over in his grave if he saw what happened after his message came. But now when right. Martin Luther came on the earth, he was a messenger for that day. Right. He was the truth right. for that day. Right. But now you can't stay in Lutheran now. And make it. You got to keep moving on. Same way with them. You say, well, I'm just going to do unleavened bread and I'm going to quit. No, God required these feasts to be done in order in their season. And so he requires me and you to do the same identical thing. No leaven among you. Brother Brown says, brings the headstone. What? No false doctrine. Okay? Because the leaven of the Pharisees was their false doctrine. But when we get into the Feast of Pentecost, you're going to see God use not unbelief leaven, but this is leaven. I hope you saw that last Sunday. Some of them had some real good comments, and I'm going to try to touch on a little bit more than what I did last week on the Feast of Pentecost. Because that's where you bring leaven in, and you go, what in the world? You bring leaven in, because in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that very first day, you went through your house, you crawled underneath the furniture. Right. You went through all the cabinets. Because if there was leaven found, a little bit further down, I tried to shorten this a little bit. But if they found leaven in your house, you was cut off from Israel. Right. You was cut off. You couldn't come to no feast. You couldn't do anything. But if you do this, you are offering it to the Lord. And the first day you'll have a holy convocation, and the last day you'll have a holy convocation. So we had to get back to the first church age and the way they acted, book of Acts, the way they acted before we could move on. So let's go now to Exodus 12. It says right here, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Now, they had to do it in their physical house. You and I have to do it in what house? This house right here. Right. This is the house we're talking about right here. Not a physical house. Because it wouldn't do you any good to go home and say, June, we got to get rid of all the baking soda and powder and all. We got to get rid of all this stuff. I just wouldn't eat there for a while. I need a bun. A bun. Not a bun. I need a bun to eat my hamburger with.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, man. But in this house, when you come to church, when you press play, when you listen to the prophet, when you listen to the brothers, when you stand talking, what's happened is you're searching for unleavened bread in your house. And when you come to a place, new brother, you come to a place and you say, I don't know about that. Get it out. Because you don't want the devil to have place. You want to get out. Out. Like the Bible tells us. He tells us there in Luke. It says when the unclean spirit goes out. Now some of us, we don't want them to go out too far. We just want, Brother John, come on. Some of us are going, now wait a minute. I think maybe I'll just keep. No. Unclean spirit goes out of a man. I want that thing to walk in dry places. I want it to die. Because the unclean spirit goes out and walks in dry places. I want it to die. So that's what's happening in type of, because God knew Israel could not keep this as me and you keep it. To get it out of this house. They had nothing to get it out of their house. This house. So God said, hey, physically, go into your house and look for leaven. Any addition, get it out for 7 days. And that was a question of, well, where did this leaven? Now remember, they use leaven all the time. Everybody got that? They had leaven in the house. It was just the 7 days they were required to get it out. Then after the seventh day, they could bring it back in and bake because they wanted to bake, you know, their loaves and all that stuff, kind of like us, hamburgers. I don't want to eat a cheeseburger with matzo on it. I don't want no little cracker on my cheeseburger. You want cracker on your cheeseburger? No. I'll eat cracker with other stuff, but not on my cheeseburger. I want some leaven. Something to eat. But we'll see that when we get to the two loaves. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So listen, anybody in the church age that took in unleavened bread or false doctrine, they were cut off. They were cut off. Because born again believers, even Luther's born again place in the body of Christ, it was pure. When he said, the just shall live by faith, that was unleavened bread. That was unleavened bread just as much as we say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not a baptism. Lord Jesus Christ is a baptism. Amen? But in Luther's time, that's all he knew. In his 7 days, though, God will put a bride in heaven just by the just shall live by faith. Because that is unleavened. Everything else that they packed into it is leaven. The part that you do this with, that's the leaven part. All right, so now let's go to the next one, first fruits. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted, what? For you. So as I've been talking, I want us to understand that Brother Branham, he spent a lot of time talking about headship. That's why he was talking about the ladies should not cut their hair, because that's what the Bible says. It's not because what the prophet said. The Bible said you shouldn't cut your hair. Amen? And it's a shame and you dishonor your headship. Come on. Same way with us. Our headship is Christ. Amen. Ladies, don't think that and I've heard for years, preachers beating on women, trying to get the women lined up when they needed a lot of it themselves. Right. Amen? Yep. They need a lot of lining up themselves, because you know what? We're all feminist when that man right there looks at us. Yes, we're all feminist in the body of Christ. When that man looks at me, I'm a bride. I'm not a groom.
Right. That's right.
I'm a bride. So all of us are feminine in the body of Christ. Right. But because we came down here in flesh, and because what Eve did in the garden, there had to be headship of God or Christ, the man, and the woman. The woman can't teach or preach and all these different things. And Brother Brown told us on the tape the other day about man being the head of the household. All right. Now, he's not to be a slave driver, but there is headship. There is headship all the way down, and it's got to stay that way or you're out of the will of God. So here we are. We see that what? You had to see, what am I talking about? Brother Donnie had this field of grain, of barley, and he jumps out there and grabs the first. I'm going to try to stay here because he's, Brother Kern, I told him I'd try to stay still. But here, Brother Donnie goes out and says, well, bless God, the preacher ain't nowhere around, and I really don't need him anyway. Sorry, I'm using you for this. I don't need him anyway. I'll just go out there and pick the biggest one, the first fruits, and I'll bring it in and I'll wave it before the Lord. Now you remember, two times in the Bible, Aaron's two boys offered strange fire and they died. Somebody jumped in and was going to do something, make an offering with a shoe bread. May have been Hezekiah or one of them. He turned leprous. See, you don't go. There is a way to approach God. So the way to approach God is Donnie says, okay, I have a high priest and God speaks to me through him. Real simple.
Yes. Amen.
You know what? It takes a lot off of you sisters and an awful lot of you brothers that you say, well, I don't have to preach. Amen. Please. But Donnie realizes that. So he brings his first fruit to the priest. And the priest waves it to be accepted for you. That's why Christ was the first fruits. That's why Christ was the first sheaf. Christ was the first wave, because what? We are accepted in him, or chosen in him. Because that wheat came out of the same field that all that other wheat or barley that's fixing to be harvested, it was brothers to that. But you had to go a certain way. That's why we come to church. That's why we listen to ministers, and why we have a Brother Branham on tape, and then we have the Bible and all these things. But he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf as an he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And remember, there's three times you do this, but we'll not get into that. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. So, like I said before, Brother Donnie couldn't say, well, I'm not worried. I'm not going to worry about what the preacher says. I'm just going to go in here and bake my own. I'm going to have my own. You couldn't even eat. If you read even the commentaries, you could not even harvest that field.
Right.
Couldn't touch it until that priest offered it. Why? Because of headship.
Right.
You and I, we're going to try to save ourselves? No, we let what? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Die for us. The only one that could die and come back and then come back into me and you.
Right.
So we let him do his job.
Right.
Same way with Boaz. Ruth could not do the redeeming.
Right.
She had no inheritance.
Right.
It was Naomi's inheritance.
Right.
but
right.
Boaz said, today, I'll go do it.
Right.
I'll redeem. And that's what was happening here. The whole field was being redeemed or able to be used.
Right.
Able to be used by God.
Amen.
When you do it the right way.
Right.
And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute. See, you weren't offering it to the priest. You were offering it to God.
Right.
All right. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians, what Paul say about it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all the men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He had to be the first one up. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection. What? Man came death by who? Adam. First Adam. But by the second Adam came the resurrection of the dead. Listen, Adam couldn't die for you. Adam was given rulership, but he couldn't die for you. He died, but his life is somewhere in another dimension. Christ had to come, the second Adam. And look, it never says an Eve all die. It says an Adam all die. So, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. You came 1 year, you came 10 years ago, you came 20 years ago, you came 30 years ago, you came now. but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. In other words, he had to do it first. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. And remember, that was a barley harvest that we're talking about in first fruits. That was a barley harvest, not a wheat harvest. Wheat harvest comes on the day of Pentecost. Right. Barley harvest was a cheap grain or a little bit less expensive grain, but it was very important because it was the first thing to come up. You didn't just leave it out there and say, well, no, I'm going to wait 50 more days. No, it would be ruined by then. You harvest. So Christ was the first fruits. He was the first one to be harvested. Right. Amen? In the barley harvest, and he was the first fruit. So now let's bring that chart up just for a second real quick. Brother Anderson, thank you. So we see that this is the first month of the year, Nisan. All right, this is when the Passover started on the 14th day. Unleavened bread started for 7 days after that, started on the 15th. We just got on the first fruits, which is on the morrow after the Sabbath. What's the morrow after the Sabbath? Monday. Sunday. Ha, ha, ha. It's wrote right there. But tomorrow after the Sabbath, then you count, that's where we were last Sunday, you count 7 weeks. 7 Sabbaths of weeks. 7 times 7 weeks, 7 times 7 days is 49 days. And then on the 50th day, you had a feast of weeks or a feast of Pentecost, which Penta means 50. All right, so let's go to that one now real quick. So there's you. Hold it right there. Stop. Go back. Ha. This is your spring feast. Everybody got that? Say amen, because it's going to be important a little bit later. Amen. This is your spring feast. Christ himself was the Passover lamb. His body was laying in the grave the very next day on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then on the very day after that, which was Sunday, being the first day of the week, he rose as the first fruit, the first one to come up out of the grave, the first sheaf wave. And now he promised them, he said, I will return in so many days later, I'll be coming inside of you. So all these first four feasts, Christ had something to do with. Now, he's got something to do with all these, but these happen when he's not here in his physical form. But that's got to happen through somebody. Amen? So that's what we're going to get into, the Feast of Trumpets here in a few minutes, and see what's going on. So the Feast of Pentecost. I want you to look at the different things we're talking about here. Let's go to the Feast of Pentecost. Now watch. Leviticus 23:15 says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. All right? From the day that you brought the sheaf wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. So the priest was waving the sheaf on Sunday when Christ was resurrecting. All right? So the morrow after the Sabbath, which was that very day, you count 49 days. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. All right, so the day after the 7th Sabbath would be 50 days. Everybody got that? Say amen. 7 Sabbaths is 49 and 50. All right. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall be you number 50 days. Penta. Penta is 50. Pentecost, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. This is something new. It's something never been done before. This Feast of Pentecost. Because what's you going to do? You shall bring out of your habitations. Remember like we were talking last Sunday. This didn't come out of the tabernacle. This didn't come out of the priest's office. Right. It came out of your habitation. In other words, where you live. Right. It came from where you live. Listen, God deals with you what? Where you live. Amen. And where do you live? Oh, I live down at 715 Herbert Street. No. Right here is where I live. Right here. And you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal. Now something has happened. There has been leaven been added to this to make a loaf. Everybody got that? 2 loaves of 2/10 deal. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. All right, so they got to be some fire added to it. With leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with a meat offering, the drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs. There's a lot of sacrificing being done on this day of Pentecost. Don't you think the 120 on the day of Pentecost, they sacrificed a lot to be there. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit. So he picks the 2 loaves up that you bring. He picks the 2 loaves up and he waves them before the Lord. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. For a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Now watch. You see, the sheaf wave now turns into a loaf of bread. You had to learn, and this, remember, this is a wheat harvest. This is not a barley harvest. This is a wheat harvest. Right. All right. You say, how can we be more? Listen, the reason you and I are more important than Christ. Oh, my Lord. He can't do this without us. But he chose that. We didn't. He chose he wasn't going to do it because, remember, he's a father. He's going to have children. And having children, he had to bring us in flesh. Amen? He had to bring the loaves into being. He had to know that there was leaven coming. And listen, watch this. God added leaven to himself, not false doctrine. We're not talking about false doctrine now. We're talking about leaven that goes in to bake a loaf of bread. Everybody got that? In John 1 verse 14, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was God. Spirit God. Amen? Like our brother Dale was talking about today. But now go down to John 1 14, there was an addition. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Now, God knew when he put Adam and Eve in flesh, they were going to fall. But he used that for redemption. Listen, God don't hate that you got flesh on you today. Hello? We might, because we're getting older. Got aches and pains. But God never said, well, now I'm just going to throw them away and start over again. No, he used that all down through time. He knew that he was going to come back in your flesh and my flesh on the day of Pentecost and start a process of leavening where he's going to enter. Because look, watch this. He came spirit to flesh. Right? Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. He came spirit to flesh. So he came purity. Now, he wasn't impure. We know that. But his body was not eternal. Everybody got that? I'm going to be slow right here. His body was not eternal. He had to come down here and die like me and you. So he had to get into the same loaf of bread that you were born in. Because you and I were born leavened, and now he's trying to get the leaven out of us. That's why Brother Brown tells us in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Christ and the Bride. There's your 2 loaves. They both rise. Christ had to rise first, and then we rise with him. But we started in flesh, and we're headed, because watch, what did Jesus say? He said, leave the wheat and tares alone. We're going back to wheat. This is what mom and daddy brought. But it's going to be changed because the harvest is not a harvest of a loaf of bread. The harvest is a wheat harvest. When God says, hey, leave them alone. Let the angels go through and stick the sickle in and put the wheat in the garner and burn the tares. So God had to come down here in leaven so that we can take our leaven and take it right back to him. Amen?
Yes, sir.
So he doesn't hate this thing. I told you before, this thing doesn't sin.
Yeah.
It don't sin. It's a product of sin.
That's right. Amen.
This thing right here has never sinned a day in its life, if you'll see it the way I see it. You say, no, I drank beer. No, that was you inside that did that, because the same guy that drunk the beer, God didn't take your hand off and throw it away and bring in a new one. No, he changed the guy inside and used the same loaf of bread. Oh, come on, people. He used the same loaf of bread to fulfill his plan. And leaven is a raising agent, arising. Raised. Well, if it don't excite you, then that's okay. Because you know what? Jesus didn't say, I'm the wheat of life. Jesus never said, I am the barley of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So there was something added in there, Brother John.
Right.
It wasn't that he was this. Yeah, sure, we know the words he spoke was unleavened. The words he spoke was pure and unadulterated unleavened bread. But he was standing, God Almighty, eternal God, standing in human leaven flesh, because it was an addition to what he was before. But when he came back on the day of Pentecost, he said, hey, I was a loaf one time before. Now I'm going to go into them. And I'm going to change them in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Oh, we ain't got into the trumpets yet. Okay. So anyway. So I am the bread of life. You know what he was doing? He was standing there saying, I am God in human flesh. I am God in that loaf. And you know what? When he came back on the day of Pentecost, Paul should have stood up and said, and I mean, Peter should have stood up and said, I am God in human flesh. You say that's too close. No, John 1:14 speaks to me and you. Speaks to me and you as much as it speaks to Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh. Are you not the Word? Now that you're born again, you're the Word. You're the Word made flesh. It just took you time, remember? The Spirit was made flesh in Jesus' part because he was before. You and I were not before. Remember, Brother Dale keeps telling us, we were nothing. We were not spirits. We had no mind of what we were. I mean, how many of y'all can, I can't remember when I was five. Well, I can't remember a couple of days ago sometime. But I mean, really, how many, you can't remember. It's just a fog. But Jesus Christ, when he came human flesh, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, if you talk of him, you're going to have to talk of me.
Right.
So what he done? He came spirit to flesh to take our flesh, change our spirit, and then put them together. Because remember, here's the key. You can't unleavened bread. Did I say that right? Okay. In other words, once you add leaven, you can't take it out. Same way with the pickling process. You know, you start with a cucumber. Start with a cucumber. And once it's turned into a pickle, it can't be turned back into a cucumber. So once you get born again, you can't be put back into what you were before. No, you've been changed. Your change started the day you received the new birth, not something that... It's just going to be, we're going to walk into that.
Yeah.
So we're all a bunch of pickles. Anyway. So, all right, let's go Pentecost. Let's read this commentary that we saw out of the Greek lexicon. Pentecost means the 50th day or harvest feast. What am I saying? Listen, God does not have a problem with your leaven.
Right.
When he's talking about this. Your leaven that he don't like is the ones that's up here.
That's right. Exactly.
This is your addition to. Listen, you can't undo your flesh.
Right. Yeah.
How many of you got here because you wanted to get here?
Right.
No.
Yep.
You got here because, well, anyway. You had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But now once you got here, you got something to do with it. Pentecost means the 50th day or harvest feast or feast of weeks. May be regarded as a supplement to the Passover. It lasted for but one day. Because the next day wouldn't have been the 50th day. Pretty simple. From the 16th of Nisan, 7 weeks were reckoned inclusively, and an extra 50th day was the day of Pentecost, which fell on the 6th of Sivan, which is somewhere in the end of May. The Pentecost was the Jewish harvest home, and the people were specially exhorted to rejoice before Jehovah with their families, their servants, the Levites within their gates. See, that Pentecost was including everybody. Listen, God would have given every person the baptism of the Holy Ghost on that day if they would have accepted it. But only 120 was promised to go tarry up in Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power from on high, or dunamis from on high. All right? And then there was 3,000 little Jesuses born after that sermon was preached. But this is for everybody. Families. It says to what? To you and your children and to them that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. The servants, the Levites within their gate, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, in the place chosen by God for his name, as they brought a freewill offering of their hand to Jehovah, their God. What was a freewill offering? The 120 in the upper room, the freewill offering was their self. They took their loaf of bread up into the upper room. Made from the first fruits of the wheat harvest. I'm sorry, the great feature of the celebration was the presentation of two loaves made from the first fruits of the wheat harvest. With the loaves, two lambs were offered as a peace offering, and all were waved before Jehovah, given to the priest. The loaves being leavened could not be offered on the altar. The other sacrifices were. So in other words, it had to come out of your habitation. All right? And as you keep on going, we'll not read the rest of it. But down at the bottom, it's really nice to know that the interval is still regarded as a religious season. The Pentecost is the only one of the three great feasts which is not mentioned as a memorial event in the history of the Jew. But it's so significant that it was on the 50th day that God came down. Does that sound familiar? With the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And went to Mount Sinai and gave Moses the Ten Commandments for them to live by. Didn't God come down with the sound of a mighty rushing wind to your mountain and give you the Holy Ghost to what? So you can live by. All right? At Sinai, their consecration to him as a nation was complete. All right, Brother Brown says, let's read these two quotes. It's not so from the beginning. And what happened was, look, they left Jesus, right down here, they left Jesus at the Feast of Pentecost. Now, this is a natural happening. They all went to Jerusalem. They took Jesus, the young 13-year-old kid. They took Jesus with them, and they went to Jerusalem. Well, they headed back to their house, and they lost Jesus. And Brother Brown is telling them, showing where they lost him. They lost him at the Feast of Pentecost. You can't find him searching through creeds and denominations. Denominations and creeds all should go back to the beginning. Now let's go to the next one. Questions and answers. Prophet of God said in red, oh, there was a great time going on. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one mind, believing that God was going to send that promise. And let every person in here get in that same mind tonight. And see what takes place. It's got to repeat. It's a promise just the same as they had. So see, we don't have a day of Pentecost, a day on the calendar. You and I are Gentiles. You don't receive the, you don't have to wait until the, whatever day that was of Sivan to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No. Amen. You're in a every day. It's a promise just the same as they had that any day you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait till a certain day. Then we see in the book of Acts, we see the promise. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one mind or all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And there was dwellers in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation. Everybody come into this great feast of Pentecost. And while they were having their great feast and they were presenting the two loaves, Christ was coming down, going into those loaves that were up there in the upper room, and he was sanctifying. Listen, that's where Christianity began. Right there is when God came down and said, I'm only one man. And I'm confined in this loaf of bread. But when I take it back to the Father, and I come back in spirit form, I'm going to get into all these loaves. And I'm going to send you out. And we're recipients today. We are recipients today of that. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speaking their own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to the other, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Amen. So there's the day of Pentecost. To me, it was a very important day. But what happens too, though, is you got to remember, from the day of Pentecost to the next, to the Feast of Trumpets, there's several months in there. Because you got to go all the way to the seventh month. You got to go from like the third month to the seventh month. You got to go from the first church age to the last church age of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Because there's been a day of Pentecost. Every time somebody gets born again, there's been a day of Pentecost. Because he fills you the same as way he filled them. Now you may have a different reaction than they did, which is fine and dandy. That's okay. But that's the way they received it. And here, how we hear every man our own tongue wherein we were born. Now let's go to the Feast of Trumpets. Now remember, this is the Feast of Trumpets. This is not the trumpets of Revelations 8 and 9. Everybody got that? But it does have something to do with it, because pull that chart up just for a second, if you don't mind, Brother Anderson. Boy, he's quick. Got them spider arms working out there. Right here is the first four feasts, the spring feast that we've been in right here. Now, you and I, when we accept the Passover, unleavened bread, we're now driving out the leaven as far as false doctrine. First fruits is what? We present ourselves to the Lord. Okay? Then on the day of Pentecost, that Lord comes in, the Lord of the harvest comes into our heart. Okay? On the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, and we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now look, excuse me, us, not the Jews, us, we're going through the seven church ages. We have already have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Right. We've already got it. The Jews don't have it yet. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. The 144,000 are waiting to get this. Amen. All right? And we may stop right here because I don't want to go too long. We finish it Wednesday night. They don't get Pentecost yet. Right? They don't receive the Holy Ghost. Listen, they turned all this down. Literally, they're doing these, all right? Literally, over there, they're having these little dinners and eatings and all that stuff for all these years. Because if they would have accepted Jesus Christ right here, see, we wouldn't have had this day. We Gentiles. Because they would have accepted Christ and that would have been it. But they didn't. They turned him down at the first feast. Is everybody with me? All right. So they don't, yeah, sure, they're doing it. They're eating the unleavened bread. But they don't, I don't say they don't have a clue. But why do you think they're still doing this over there? They're wanting Christ to come. Their Messiah hasn't got here yet, they think. But the Messiah's got here for us. Amen. All right? So we go through this. We know that Jesus died for our sins. We know that we're supposed to get all the false doctrine out of our life. And that we give ourselves as a first fruit, like I said, a tithing. When you come to church, it's not that you pay your tithe, which is, according to the Bible, you should. But you give your time, your tithe of your time. All right? You're giving the first fruits to the Lord. And then guess what? One day, you come to a day of Pentecost where that Jesus Christ that died for you came into your heart. And then now we've lived through all these church ages. And then now you and I are recipients of this. We'll talk about it in just a minute, or maybe we'll stop right here and get in, because the Feast of Trumpets is what? It's a sound. The Day of Atonement is not calling you to kill a lamb again. It's calling you to remember that a lamb died for you. Okay? And then Brother Brown says, we are now feasting under the Feast of what? Tabernacles, which is the last harvest feast. We're not going to go build a booth and go live in it and be holy. This is the booth he's wanting to live in. And that's what we're living under, that we're realizing, because what they do, well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want you to see the whole picture. They're realizing that they're going to go build a booth out in their yard and live in it for 7 days to show that they journeyed through Israel and they didn't have their own house. They lived in out in the wilderness. But you and I, we know where the last tabernacle is. Listen, there's going to be a tabernacle built in the millennium, brother. Paul and I were talking about that. The millennial temple. We won't build it. We don't know how to build temples. Right. We know how to build castles, but we don't know how to build temples. So they'll build the temple, but now watch this. So what's going to happen is we're going to leave. All right? We'll do the Feast of Trumpets later. We'll do it next Wednesday because I want you to get this real quick. This is what I'm heading to, but if I don't tell you now, just feels like everything's boring today. I don't know. We'll see. But see, the Messiah returns and takes us out of the way. Then what happens to natural Israel? Don't they get the Holy Ghost? Don't they have to realize that that Passover lamb was the literal Jesus Christ? Amen? And that they got to get, what's going to happen is they're going to get all that Orthodox Jew out of them. I think this is what's going to happen. I have an opinion. No, it's not an opinion. God don't have an opinion. God's God. You either believe his word or you don't. Then they're going to offer themselves to the Lord. But watch what happens when they get the Holy Ghost. We'll read it later. The trumpets sound. See, you got to have a Feast of the Trumpets. They're coming to the Feast of Trumpets, but they don't understand that it's going to be the seven trumpets. Because remember, the seven trumpets is not to us. Brother Brown said he preached them supernaturally under the sixth seal, which what is the sixth seal? Two witnesses revealing Israel, Jesus Christ. And then they call the plagues down on the earth. Well, what happens right here? They don't kill Jesus Christ again. They're waiting on the Messiah to come so that he can die for them. They're going to realize on this Day of Atonement, he already died for them 2,000 years ago. And that's where it in Zechariah or somewhere it says, we'll turn and mourn. We killed our Messiah a long time ago. That's their Day of Atonement. A Day of Atonement is that you realize something died for you. They haven't realized that yet. And then what's going to happen? They're going to take a rapture. The Messiah is going to return to them and going to take them in a rapture. So see, there's your feast. But we'll get into each one of them, but they're literally going through these feasts. And if you look in the commentary, it's a natural eating of something. They've just made it like a buffet. You know, now the Jews get together and you know, if you and I are Jewish, we get our families together and we eat a meal under all this. There's symbols and all these things that go with it, but they just don't know. You and I spiritually have went going through every one of these. Right. But they're going to have to come to a day where they're going to sit down and realize they've went through all these too. Right. God's not forgot them. Right. They're going to make, right here, they're going to take a harvest. That's the last harvest of the year. And it's a fruit harvest. You've already been a wheat. Now, your fruit. Your virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. He's going to harvest your fruit right here. And he's going to harvest their fruit same time. They're going to realize on this Day of Atonement, they're going to say, where did you get those scars? And he's going to say, right back over here, the house of my friends. And then they're going to what? They're going to mourn and separate because you know what? They realized their Messiah had come and they didn't know it. And they're mourning that God's going to destroy them. But he says, no, no, no. I did this for your preservation. But I also did this for 2,000 years. I was bringing a bride. I was bringing the Gentiles in. I've got her in and she's already in glory and she's safe. And now I'm coming back to you and I'm going to give you safety, 144,000. We're going to have a feast of trumpets. There's going to be seven trumpets that sound, all these different plagues. But you and I don't see that. But they do. So let's stand to our feet. God bless you. We'll get to the Feast of Trumpets because there's more to that. Several other things to that. I just didn't get there fast enough. We're slow down here where Southerners. All the musicians, come on. Because remember, Brother Brown preached when a trumpet gives an uncertain sound. There's a scripture that we're going to read in Ezekiel. I'll just read it to you and we'll read it again. This is how important it is to hear the correct word of God. Ezekiel 33 verse 2 says, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, watch. If then he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, the blood will be upon his own head. But he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet. What are you saying, Brother Wade? You better be listening to the right word. Because there's a watchman that's been given. And if he blows the trumpet and said the enemy's coming or the enemy is here or we need to quit doing this and we need to quit doing that and we don't heed that, then the blood's on us, not on the watchman. So we'll read that Wednesday night. We'll still be on the Feast of Trumpets. God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Just remember, Wednesday and Sunday, it will be these men only and Sister Esther playing the piano. So be diligent. Like I said, Brother Bob and Brother Luis, they're feeling a whole lot better. And we'll keep up with them. Sister Anna and Brother Al. But God bless you. Just be diligent. Just be diligent. Be watchful. Like I said, that watchman, that God give you a watchman called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? And when you feel that little check, you better be careful. I do that a lot even on my mail route, and you think, well, this is so simple, but you just don't know. Because, see, I've got 600 boxes, and it's a hard surface. And they say the virus can live, so I mean, whatever. But I wear gloves. But, you know, there's times when I'll literally be sitting there and looking at the box, and something say, sanitize your hands. But it won't do that for another 200 boxes or whatever. But stop. Sanitize your hands. And I'll grab that hand sanitizer and I'll give it a good one and keep on going. Well, God's protected me so far. So, but you listen to that still small voice. That watchman that God give you. Because remember, you don't want to listen to a trumpet that has an uncertain sound. If it gives an uncertain sound, what do you do? I mean, there wasn't communications back then like they are now, but back then, you know, the charge was one note and retreat was one note and move to the left was another. You could really get your voice out there. And what if the guy messed up and was supposed to retreat and he blew the charge trumpet? Disaster. What am I saying? You need to know what you're hearing. You need to know where you're going. You need to know what's going on. And you need to listen to that certain sound that trumpet gives you. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
For he is Lord.
Oh, he is Lord. Brother David is going for a brain scan on Tuesday, and we're going to pray that everything will be just fine. Dear Lord Jesus, we've seen, Lord, many times these prayer cloths, Lord, go to a certain place or an individual, Lord, and we see lives changed. And we see things, Lord, in people's lives changed because of it, even cancer being taken out of bodies. So, Lord, we pray that Brother David, Lord, when he goes under to that scan, Lord, that everything will be fine, Lord, and that the doctors will see what's going on, Lord, and know what to do. Father, we believe in doctors, but we know that you are the only healer. You are the healer, the great physician. And we pray that you'd bless our little brother, Lord, and all will be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing it one more time. Oh, he is Lord. Oh, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Amen. Oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, what about a message? Brother Paul, I told him many times before. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In other words, whether you want to or not, you're going to bow. Why not do it and know what you're bowing for? Because there's a lot of people going to bow and they ain't going to be very nice. It ain't going to be very nice for them. But if you and I will submit ourselves to God, kneel down and pray, and know that he's your Lord. There's your headship. But I'm telling you, you can give me any, there's many mighty revelations in this message. But I can count one. And those of you that know what I'm going to say, I can count one revelation that I think more than any revelation is that, Brother Paul, I don't have to go through tribulation. I don't have to stand before the judgment bar. I don't have to. I'm chosen in him. And if he don't have to stand in front of it, I don't have to stand in front of it. The Bible tells us that the book was open. There was thrones. 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 Don't you know the saints will judge the earth? How can you stand in judgment and be a judge? You can't. I've been judged, and thank God, the prophet of God, many, many times, because there's people, listen, Baptists, I don't know about the Lutherans, but the Baptist says, look, you're going through 7 years of tribulation, and you're going to have to go before the white throne judgment, and you're going to have to do all this. Brother Brown said, look, how can God send his own bride? How can you take your own wife and send her into tribulation? No, he took on our sin. So that our loaf will be just as righteous as his loaf. And there stands the great righteous judge. But look at all the ones behind, because you know what? People are going to walk up to the white throne. And you know what? Somebody in that throng, God's going to go, did that person back there not tell you about me 50 years ago, 100 years ago, whenever you were? And they're going to have to say yes. So what does the judging? Not so much here stands the judge, but back there stands the judge. But you got to remember, it can reverse. Because here comes a man. Here comes a man that's just cursed all the days of his life, had 3 or 4 wives and just a drunk. But one day, he changed Sister Esther's tire on the side of the road. Oh, people. Talk about having what you got inside of you.
Come on.
He's going to get ready, Brother Paul, to slam the book down. Go with the goats. And he's going to wait just for a second because there's going to be somebody way in the back. He's going to say, Lord, Lord, Lord. You said, he likes for you to tell him what he said. He said, you said that a cup of water would not be forgotten in this world or the world to come. She said, he changed my tire and helped me. Now, what happened here? Here stands a sinner that went into the fifth dimension. No hope. Dead. Never knew anything about Jesus Christ. Never made a confession. But Esther said, Lord, if he hadn't changed my tire, I don't know where I'd have been. My child, what do you say? My child, what do you say? Well, Lord, you told us that a cup of water wouldn't be forgotten in this world or world to come. And right before that gavel went down, he couldn't go past his word. He said, because of this, because what you've done to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto me. So I'm going to impart you eternal life. You move over here. Now you're not going to be bride, brother, but I'm going to let Sister Esther take about 10,000 years and tell you about me and how she got saved and how she took that eternal life that you get, that I gave her, and she's imparting it to you. And he'll show him the nails. He'll say, look, this is what happened. And I did it for her. But she's one of my little ones. So when you did it to her, you did it to me. Enter in. The Bible tells, enter into the joy of the Lord, prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Listen, we're going to go down to Brother Terrence's. He's already left, so let's continue on down to the baptismal pool, and we'll baptize our brethren in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have some joy. Angels are waiting for this moment. They're waiting for this moment. Because remember, angels rejoice when a saint comes in. But God bless you. Remember Wednesday, we'll be here. We'll finish the service actually on the Feast of the Trumpets. But pray for everybody that's sick. Remember all the ones that couldn't be here. And just pray for the, I pray for all humanity. With this thing, you know, I'm part of humanity. I still got this thing, you know, to deal with. So, but be led by the Lord. And let's go on down to the baptismal service, not linger around so much. We'll lock up everything, get ready to go. I want to thank Brother John for doing the song service. He does a really good job. And all of you that are here that come, and the ones that I've listed, come on Wednesday and Sunday. Let's just try to do that, calm everything down a little bit. We'll be okay. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We thank you for the words, Lord, that we so graciously, Lord, gave to the people today, Lord. But I pray that you would quicken that. That it not be just dead letter, Lord, but it'd be a living word. That they're going to have to bake that in the oven. Prophet of God says, bake it in the oven of affliction and trials and tests. But oh, at the end, we're going to rise up as that loaf of bread, Lord, that we spoke there on the day of Pentecost. Father, give us this day truly our daily bread. Be with our brothers. We go to the baptismal pool, Father, that he'll lay everything down and he'll come up in newness of life. Just be with us on the highways. Be with us, Lord, until we come back together on Wednesday, that you'll lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord.